Hey guys, welcome back to the Grindworks podcast. This is episode 16. Originally was slated to be episode 14, and then kind of waited to put this one out. This was actually recorded about 2 months ago with Chris, and then he asked me to hold it for a little while, and then I had recorded other podcasts and already slated them to be in front of it, and then I hit some delays getting this out. So we're really 2 months behind on getting this posted. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode. I think you will. Chris is a really interesting guy. You've all heard different parts of his story in the past, different tidbits, different interviews, a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, this one was real fun to do. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys do too. All right, what's up, Chris?
What's up?
Not that we haven't already been chatting or anything, but like, thanks.
I gotta fix this.
See, I didn't prep at all. We're good. Still getting used to the setup.
It's a very elaborate looking setup. That's a serious looking microphone.
It's not that fancy, but it is.
Well,
it is all shock mounted.
Since you're on YouTube, this is the Paul Over podcast right here. So if you're talking about fancy,
podcast in a bag.
Yeah, exactly. But it works. It's a crude setup, but it works.
It works good. It sounds good.
Thanks.
Everything's gone pretty well. It sounds crisper than mine, I think.
Okay.
But it's probably that you've got a microphone right here. On both participants, and not one microphone floating in the middle of the room.
Possibly. I don't know. It's like I was telling you before, I'm super computer illiterate, and you know, me checking my social media is like a big deal to me sometimes. So I'm slowly figuring things out as I go. It's been a fun learning process though.
Yeah. It's cool though. Like I guess so you have Poliver, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Paul Avera and make it fancy, but it's not.
That sounds sounds refined, I guess.
Yeah. So, what inspired you to want to do that?
God. I don't even remember my original inspiration for doing it. I've been talking about doing a podcast for the last year and a half. And I told countless people about it. Like, oh, I'm going to do this podcast. And I was even going to go and try and get Dig to be a part of it and do it with their platform and with like almost like a sponsorship from Dig. So I was going back and forth with them, and then I went through my whole health crisis, so I put the whole thing on the back burner. And then it was actually the Dig guys, Will Smith, the editor of Dig, reached out to me again. He's like, hey, do you still want to revisit this podcast idea? And then him and I went back and forth for a little while, and it was tough getting answers from Dig because I would send an email just asking a few questions, and then it would be like 3 weeks until I got something back. So eventually, after I recorded my interview with Steve Buttendeck, I got really inspired just to do it myself because Steve Buttendeck is such a DIY guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he really influenced me like to just do it myself. And then actually, you yourself actually said, well, with Dig, you have so much expectation that it might be better just to be on your own. So I was like, all right. So I gave it a lot of thought, and I sent an email to Dig saying that I was just going to do it myself. And they were really cool about it. They weren't like butthurt about it or anything like that. And I think it was a few weeks after that I had my buddy make that logo. Dave Fortman made the Poliver logo, and I just released it. And like I said, it's been a slow process of trying to learn how to do everything, like editing with Audacity and learning my equipment and stuff like that. But now we're up and running. So that's the long story short.
No, that's cool though, because like I made a joke when I posted just on my story about yours, because I was posting that yours was up. I was posting, I think, promoting mine, and I was promoting my buddy Matt Smith's, all at the same time, like one post after another. And I'm like, is podcasting the new vlog? Because it's kind of debatable. Like, everyone's doing them right now.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people are, for sure. I think when I saw Dennis Enerson was doing it, that kind of lit a fire under me as well. I was like, all right, I need to get this out. Because Dennis is like the ultimate trendsetter. Like, it, you know, now I feel like there's going to be a lot of people doing it. And yeah, why not? I love listening to people's stories and what people have to say and what people have going on. So why not? Yeah, I say bring it on. The more the merrier.
Yeah. And it's cool. I've been listening to a whole bunch since I got into doing them. I'd never listened to any before that.
What do you listen to, like, all different genres and things like that?
I do. I've been trying to get caught up on the BMX ones.
Okay.
A little bit, just because I don't want to be necessarily repeating stuff that more important people have said.
Okay.
But I listen to a lot of talk radio, like when I'm driving around, either for work or just between here and Binghamton.
Okay.
So that's like 5.5-6 hours in car that I'm like, can listen to the music or I can listen to something that's entertaining. So I listen to like Jason Ellis' show on Sirius a lot.
Yeah, I've never listened to his, but I've heard it's really good.
It's entertaining. Good is debatable.
Okay.
Depends on the day.
Okay.
But it's fun. So he has a podcast, his co-host has a podcast. Then there's all the BMX ones that I've been trying to get up to speed on. And then at the same time, for like the last year and a half, I've been trying to not renew my Sirius subscription.
Okay.
But I use it so much that it's debatable.
Okay.
But yeah, it's kind of like just trying to get caught up. I've been like hammering through the Kyle Carlson ones recently. I'm like almost done with those. I think I'm caught up on Dennis's, Matt Smith's. Then I know there's that Space Brothers one. I'm not even sure who's doing that, but
that's Kip Williamson and I think his brother.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Kip Williamson before?
I know that name, but I can't pinpoint why I know it.
Kip used to make videos back in the day. He's a Flatlander. I think he's originally. I don't know if he's originally from Florida or not. He might be from Fort Wayne, Indiana. But he made like some really good videos back in the day. Videos that I was really into, like this video, Juvenile Trickery. And he made this other video called Alternative Forms of Transportation.
Okay.
And they were two really, really good videos. And Kip's a knowledgeable guy and he speaks well. And I'm sure his are really good. I actually haven't gotten to check any of his out as well. But I'm sure they're pretty good.
Yeah, his guests, like the list on there is pretty good looking, so
yeah.
The people he's been interviewing, and then the one I've really been slacking on is BMX in Our Blood.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I should have been listening to that one all along and just missed the boat.
His are really good. I think Joe does a really good job of asking the right questions, and of course he has some hits, he has some misses, but I think all his are really good. The one he did with Garrett Burns, I think, is like the greatest BMX podcast of all time. And I think that's more because Garrett was so open and honest with like everything that he'd gone through in his life and everything that he went through recently and where he's at now. And I think that was like, that was a really good one. And Garrett and I are from the same generation of BMX riders. So
yeah.
I really got a lot out of that. That was, yeah, so if you're going to listen to any of those, I'd say that you should start there. Cause that's a really good one.
Yeah, probably. I've been doing, like, episode 1 through current.
Okay.
And then it's really frustrating listening on Apple Podcasts because it goes to the next one down.
Okay.
By default, so it automatically starts playing the one I just listened to before the one I'm on.
Okay.
Like, okay. So, I'm not sure if you can switch that. I haven't even tried.
I don't know, but I've heard another guy complain about that as well.
And I mean, I guess probably for most people, they're like hitting the most recent one and then diving back. But I know Mike Hinkins' podcast, he is constantly referring to his previous ones.
Oh, okay.
So if you're not listening to him in order, you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Those ones are pretty good, too. The imprimatur.
Yeah. Yeah, him and I have talked quite a bit on social media about it.
It's kind of good. Yeah. Little bit in-depth sometimes, for my liking, but
They're also the same as, like, the fun car ride chats where you're, like, way in-depth on something that no one cares about.
Gotcha.
So what do you plan to do with yours, though?
I don't know. I don't really have a plan. I'm just kind of doing it. And it really felt good to not be doing it with Dig, because I don't have that expectation. I could hammer out 5 a month, or I could do 1 a month. I don't really know. I don't have, like, a goal or anything with it. I just want to get some good stories out there, and it might kind of sound bad, but I'm leveraging a lot of friendships that I have, that just being around for 20-plus years in BMX, that I think some of these people will be comfortable talking to me, and I can get some good stories out there, both inspirational, funny, and all that.
I think it's cool not being through either. I mean, I know you're still sponsored rider, but it's cool not being through a platform that has not only expectations, and their viewers have expectations, but biases based on, you know, brands or whatever that are paying them for advertising. And you're like, look, I can interview who I want to interview about what we want to talk about, and it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that, or I don't want to make it sound weird, but after this next one that I release, the next one will be on Casey Smith. But after this, it'll be a lot of Kink guys, because I'm going to Florida, I'm going to Swamp Fest, and I'm going to be staying with the Kink crew, and I've been around the world with all of those guys, and we have so many great stories. So I'm going to do, like, Daryl Taco, Jay Rowe, and Chad Osborne. Those three are high on the list. But those guys are interesting guys, and they're great bike riders, and they have good stories. And Jay Rowe in particular, like, I love his story so much that I just can't wait to interview him and have him tell it. Just growing up as, like, this budding, like, he was going to be, like, a pro hockey player. And he was, like, in school with all these guys that eventually did go on to the NHL, but he chose this different path of just, he wanted to work for Kink so bad. So he just kind of, like, gave all that up. He gave up being a hockey player, gave up being a lacrosse player, because he wanted to live this BMX life for some reason. And everyone thought he was crazy. So
he might be.
Well, yeah.
But
I guess time will tell if he made the right decision. But he's like, yeah, I didn't want to play hockey anymore. So I'm doing this. But you'll have to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Full story.
Fair enough.
So yeah, people are going to be like, what is this, sponsored by Kink? But no, those are just friends of mine that I'm going to be staying with.
Yeah, it's like, I'm in the same general vicinity as all of these people at one time. Why not just kind of stack some content?
Yeah.
Realistically, you wouldn't even have to put them out in a row if you got some other people to squeeze in.
Yeah, that's true. But I think my first two went really well. So now people are like, who's next? When's the next one coming out? Like, a buddy texted me today. He's like, hey, when's the next podcast? I'm like, tomorrow. Like, so, but after tomorrow, I was like, I don't have any content, so I need to start gathering and just stockpiling stuff.
I've been trying to do a week between episodes, and it's okay at the beginning, and then you're like, I don't know that many people, and I don't go out that much, and it's very restrictive being locked down in a room like this setup is.
Yeah. But luckily, I mean, with the wheel mill going on, you got people coming through a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's pros, there's legends, there's all sorts of people that are constantly coming through Pittsburgh, so I don't think it's, you know, it's bad to, like, just ask people, like, hey
you want to come to my apartment later?
Come to my house?
it is what it is, though. Like, I actually have a lot of people stay with me. A couple friends from Portland, Maine were down through here, crashed on the floor. I'm like, you guys are going to do a podcast, you know that? They actually asked me about it first. Like, are you doing that out of your apartment here? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, cool, let's do one.
Right.
And then a friend out of Chicago came out. I think that's really the only out-of-towners. Brant came out from Ohio.
Okay. They've covered more ground than I have.
Yeah.
It's just here in Pittsburgh, here in Columbus, Ohio. That's all I've gone.
Yeah. Well, did you drive out? I know you had to meet up with Steve when you did that.
Yeah, we did that at his house, and then when I did Casey Smith's, I went to Cleveland We just did it at Ray's.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. That's what I'm like excited. I need to buy one of those H1 mics.
Zoom, yeah.
Because like I'm gonna be leaving tomorrow after work up to Binghamton until Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And like I could get content up there if I had a way to record it.
Oh yeah.
But I don't have a way to record it right now.
Yeah.
Actually, I could just order it tonight and have it delivered to my parents' house for Saturday.
There you go. Joe Doherty, I mean, he just has a thing that he plugs into his phone, and he just uses the Voice Memo app on his iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, his is pretty simple. His is more simple than mine.
My phone's always, like, out of data storage. Yeah. So, I should have bought a 32 gig, but you're like, nah, 16 will be good. They don't tell you that 12 of it is the operating system.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whatever. But, yeah, I'm going to try to figure something out there, at least. Probably just ship it up to my parents' house and have it there waiting for me.
Yeah.
It's, especially with Prime, it's not going to cost anything to ship.
There you go.
But, yeah, so hopefully I'll do that, and then I can meet up with all my friends up there. And like, you want to talk about bikes?
Yeah.
Probably not. So, you are going to Swamp Fest.
I am, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah,
it
was...
Did you go last year?
I did. Okay. I went last year, and I think it was the most I've ridden in a single day in, like, 10 years. So, yeah, I leave Friday, and I get there Friday morning. I'm going to do some podcasting. And then Saturday, I'm planning on just riding all day. The jumps are freaking awesome. And I don't really mess with the park area. That seems like a nightmare over there. With not necessarily, the setup looks awesome, but it's like a beehive over there. There's people everywhere, and everyone's snaking each other. And but the trails only go one way, so you're not really snaking. You're waiting in line a lot of the day, but nah, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. Trey does a really good job with that, and I think everyone in BMX is going down.
It looks like he does a really good job. And I was listening to actually his podcast. What was he just on? Maybe he might have even been talking about it. It had to be Kyle Carlson's.
Okay.
So he's probably talking about last year's planning for this one, but it was recorded last year.
Okay.
And he's like talking about the whole spray painting the ramps ordeal, and like people don't realize the amount of work that goes into it.
Oh my God. I mean,
and
he's
been doing stuff for months.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, just to rent that area to be able to do it, I'm sure is a lot of money. But yeah, I think it's a labor of love for him. He likes giving back to BMX and doing stuff like that. It's really become like the premier event now, like the only U.S. event that isn't like a you don't have to qualify into. It's not invite only, so it's really cool.
Yeah,
the jumps look awesome. I'm looking forward to going riding some trails.
It looks cool. Yeah. You don't want to get in on the loop thing that he posted today? That thing, like I saw that he was making the loop where it looked like a full pipe and you could come in and go either direction on it. And then today I saw that he's got the open loop after it back. And I'm like, that looks horrible.
How many people, it's going to be fun to watch for sure. I picture like a guy like I mentioned already, Chad Osborne. He'll probably do it. He'll probably do it and make it look easy. And then a bunch of other people will try it and get worked.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he's got some good liability insurance out there, but yeah, it's gonna be entertaining.
I feel like the open one would be easier than the closed loop.
I agree.
Then it's just like a old Wessel style three transfer.
Yeah, not that I've ever done one of those, but I could picture myself being better at the open loop than just trying to do the full loop, because I would if I was doing a full loop, I would constantly be thinking like, okay, when am I? Where am I? What am I doing? At least with the open loop, I would know. Okay, I got to pull here.
Yeah.
And then I would hopefully.
And then do a flip.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that one looks wild. And then you have to go, like, I feel like you'd want to do the closed loop oppo so that you could do the loop back regular.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. Huh. I don't plan on doing it. So good luck to anyone that's going to give it a shot.
I know Mason posted on his Instagram today. He's like, should I do the loop? I'm like, If you got it.
Yeah, Mason seems
probably
to be
do
tight.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, so. He'll probably flip whip it or something like that.
Double loop the pallet loop and then flip whip the transfer.
Yeah, I could totally picture Mason getting down like that.
Mason kills it.
Yeah, he's a really fun guy to ride with. He's fun to watch. He's really creative. He's really brave. So it's always entertaining. He's a really nice guy. Like, he's nice to be on the deck with too.
So are you.
Hey, I appreciate it.
It's no joke, though, because, like, a lot of people just aren't... You meet people that you build up a fake expectation in your head because you never met them anyway, but they turn out to be a douche.
Right.
And you're like, oh, cool.
Well, I'm glad that you don't think that I'm a douche.
Not that bad. But, you know, sometimes you just catch someone on a bad day, too.
True.
So
you'll never catch me with I don't like the earbud thing. I know a lot of people like to listen to music when they ride, but like part of the experience of riding for me is always like you're with your friends. You should be talking and laughing and mm-hmm. bullshitting. And I just don't like when people just have their earbuds in and they're just, you know, just zoned in on whatever the session is. But
well, or you go, yeah, man, that was sick. And they roll up to you.
What?
And you're like, moment's gone.
Moment's
whatever, dude.
Yeah, I'm not a... I don't like the whole earbud thing.
I've worn them a couple of times. Like, if I go out on, like, a solo street ride, I might throw them in.
Well, you're solo. That's understandable.
But even then, like, how comfortable is it to ride street with earbuds in?
Yeah, you gotta...
I think I'd rather hear what's around me.
Yeah, you gotta be in tune with your environment.
So, I don't know. I've always felt that it's weird. But yeah, if anyone shows up or something, I'm not keeping them in.
Right. I have a speaker that I used to bring to the park, like when we ride boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people do that all the time. And it's at the wheel mill, too. There's music playing, and they've got their earbuds
in. It's usually pretty good music, too.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Depending on what you're into. I like it.
It's not 2003 playing Lucero at the park for 8 hours.
That was riding Studio 334. It was like Lucero, Guns N' Roses.
And Slayer.
And Slayer, yeah.
Like, they don't go together at all.
Right.
Now, I don't know. I like Lucero, but...
I do. I love it.
But I can't get down with it for 8 hours at the park.
Right. You gotta mix it up.
That was East Coast Terminal all day long. I mean, it's the same generation of skate park.
Yeah.
But, man, that place. I think I met you there.
We met there?
Yeah. Oh. Like, way back. Probably 2003, 2004. I would have been, like... 14, probably just asking you about your bike parts.
Oh, okay.
Just to talk to Chris Doyle.
All right, was that cool?
Yeah. All right. Probably talk to you about, like, the DK Iron Cross sprocket and Iron Cross pedals.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, I would have been on DK back then. Those were good. I always loved those events. I always love any event that ever has gone on in Binghamton that I've been at. It's been great. Those East Coast Terminal contests, mm-hmm. the Brawlin' at the Belmar contests. Like, I always had a blast there. And I never hung out for, like, the after parties. I never, like, got into mischief or anything. But, I mean, Binghamton seems like a pretty raw place, especially if you're going out to the bars and doing things like that, hanging out with the FBM guys. But, no, I always had a good time at those contests.
They're fun. The ghetto comps were cool.
Okay.
I never rode those. I was there. But
right.
I was, like... 14, 15.
Yeah, you'd have been young.
Maybe 16 or 17 when they were, like, done with all of that and the park was closing. But, yeah, they were good times, though.
Yeah, sure.
Someone needs to do, like, because they always had the La Rev contest, and then they had the trade show.
Yeah.
Subdivision.
Yeah.
And with, that hasn't happened in years. I mean, over 10.
Right.
And then with Interbike not happening, good opportunity.
Yeah. I'm surprised they don't do something like that at Swamp Fest. Because the whole industry is going to be there. All the riders are going to be there. You schedule something maybe like the weekend before. I don't know.
Yeah. Or even all like half the week before.
True.
You can do it during the week.
That's true.
Like
yeah,
trade show.
Start on like a Wednesday or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I know that I've talked about it with, like, our jam up at Binghamton, because we've got HCS, we can do it out in the parking lot, and then you're like, you're just gambling heavily on weather.
Yeah, always.
And at the same time, it's kind of like a who are you?
Okay.
I just feel like that would be the question that would be asked. Why would we come to your event?
I gotcha.
I'm like, I don't care. But it's a good opportunity to do it with smaller brands.
Sure.
If I can do it with anyone that's like Grindworks size. And come out, set up a booth, hang out, ride.
Yeah. And that's some burgers. It's like we were talking about with like the podcast thing. I mean, everything's like, you can do it yourself. No, there's no rules. Like, you don't have to ask permission to do that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, go for it.
And then we've, like, with the street jam, too. Like, I'm actually going to go back to what you were talking about when's the next one coming out? Street jam is just like that. When's the next street jam?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's at the jam, and they're asking when the next one is. Yeah. You're like, why can't you just enjoy this one?
Right.
And then if you want to do something, just set up a time to go ride with your friends, man. Like, we don't need prizes to have a good time.
Yeah.
But this generation can be weird.
That's very true.
So, I told you before we started recording or anything, like, I kind of went back and watched through some of your older stuff.
There's a lot out there. some skeletons in the closet there.
Specifically, your, I think it was Props issue 67.
Okay.
Was the last formal Props interview you had, mm-hmm. to my knowledge. And, you know, it's got age on it, 10 years or so, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
So there's some fun stuff in there. But you are married to Denise, who
was
your girlfriend in that interview.
We were not married then, yeah. Married to Denise now. We got married in 2010. I think that would have been maybe 3 years after that Props interview.
Yeah, because that was pretty fun interview to watch. Just, I guess, looking back on it, knowing that you're married now, and because you're... one thing I wanted to ask you about was career.
Oh, okay.
Because your old Props interview, the one that you said is embarrassing, you talk about wanting to be a weatherman. Your more recent Props interview, you said... Hang on. I've got it written down, but I don't want to look.
Physical therapy.
Physical therapy, yeah. There you go.
Then
I believe that we talked last year or year before, and you have a realtor's license.
Right.
And then, in your interview, though, you said that since Denise was going to school and was going to have a good job, you're going to sit back and let her bring home the bacon?
That's true. I said all that. All that's true. Okay. So, I did not become a meteorologist. and it's funny, being 17 and someone asks you about... When I did that Props interview, I wasn't... I might have been making $200 a month writing for DK. I didn't think there was a future after, you know, once I turned 18, 19, 20 years old, like, I can't live off $200 a month. Like, eventually I gotta proceed with my life.
It's cool when you're living at your parents.
Yeah. So, when I answered that question, I was like, BMX isn't going to be around for me. Like, I'm not a pro. I mean, I was pro. I was competing in pro contests, but I wasn't making the money that a lot of guys were. And I remember... I was a junior in high school when I answered that question during that Props interview. And then the next year, when I was 18, I was getting ready to graduate high school, and DK bumped up my salary to $600 a month.
Ooh.
So I was like, whoa, I'm eight. I'm like doing it. And then I picked up a new sponsor that summer. I was riding for ProTech Helmets. They paid me $200 a month. So now I'm like, I'm 18, I'm making $800 a month. I'm like, oh my God. I'm actually doing this. I'm actually like a paid pro bike rider. And I moved out of my parents' house. Me and my buddy got a condo in Raleigh. My rent was $400 a month. So there's like, you know, cutting my pay in half, and then the rest I would just use on groceries, gas, whatever. But I was like happy doing it. I was like, this is great. And then even, so like time just kept going on, and I kept like, I'd do better in contests. I'd pick up more sponsors, mm-hmm. and before I knew it, I'm like, I'm really doing it. I'm like a paid pro bike rider. I'm like one of those guys that I used to look up to. So Then we get to the next props interview, and I must have been 26, 27 at that time. And those were still, like, good money years, meaning, like, if you get top five in a contest, you're making a lot of money, because the Dew Tour was around, and a lot of sponsors were around. So, like, money-wise was great. My wife was in college at the time. She was going to be an elementary school teacher. She got her bachelor's, and she got her master's, and now she's, like, kicking ass. And she provides, like, all the benefits, the healthcare and everything in our household. So, but I told her for years, I made the same deal with her that Brian Foster made with his wife. Brian Foster was making a lot of money, and he was supporting his wife while she was going to school. And he's like, hey, I'll get us to the age of 40. And then once you have your degrees and everything, you get your job, then you take over. And she was like, deal. So I kind of made that deal with my wife, and that's something I didn't really say in the props interview. He's like, look, I'll take care of everything. But, you know, eventually this career is going to end, and you kind of have to take over for a little while. And that's kind of where we're at now. I still have some income from riding. It's not a lot of money. But now she's able to, like, bring home the bacon.
Yeah.
While I'm still trying to figure everything else out. I'm still very involved in doing, like, commentary and expert analyst work for, like, NBC, ABC, ESPN, stuff like that. Actually, I just got an email today from X Games that I'm going to be doing all the sideline reporting for the X Games in Minneapolis, as well as the qualifier out in Boise, Idaho. And they'll be flying me out to, like, a talent summit out in Los Angeles. So I'm still able to, like, be involved that way, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I do have my real estate license as well. And I've just been, like, I've had it for almost 2 years now. And I would really like to start working in that field, but being able to be a stay-at-home dad while my wife's working is fantastic, because the price of childcare is ridiculous.
Unless you're making, like, a real good salary somewhere, it's just a wash.
Exactly.
Because that's Rachel's stay-at-home right now.
Yeah.
And it's really a wash for what she could bring home versus what it's going to cost to put him in daycare 40 hours a week.
Exactly.
Like, just spend the time with him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, it's probably a lot of days where you're like, man, this is exhausting.
Not or yet. Or was,
maybe.
She's a really good kid. She doesn't really exhaust me so much. And she's content, too. Sometimes, like, I can just put her on the floor and she can play with blocks for an hour. Like this, and I can just kind of do what I want to do. Yeah. I can edit my podcast. But then, yeah, I don't know when this is going to come out, but my wife and I are expecting another one.
Oh, awesome.
So, it's almost more beneficial sometimes for me just to be a stay-at-home dad and be able to pull in a little bit of income that I do with these commentary gigs. So, it's funny you mentioned that interview about, like, the physical therapy thing. I really did want to explore, but I kept being a pro bike rider for another 10 years. So,
yeah,
it's always, like, I always have these things, like, on the back burner, things in the back of my mind. So, I actually got my real estate license when I found out Denise was pregnant for the first time. I was like, okay, I need to get something that I can fall back on. So I got that, and I got it real quick. And, you know, the Cummings brothers, Justin Cummings, Steve Cummings.
I don't know those names. I might know faces.
You've probably ridden with Justin a couple times at the wheel mill, but they're saving me a spot on their team. They're under Remax Select, and they have their own Cummings Brothers team. And they're like, anytime you want to come work, let us know. So I'm just kind of waiting till I have to use it.
Yeah.
Right now, everything's kind of worked out, which is great. that's not real wood, is it?
No, this is. If you want to shake the cameras.
So, yeah, knock on wood, everything's just kind of fallen into place. I haven't had to fall back on the real estate career yet, but I'm ready to use it. Anytime you want to buy a house, let me know. I can help you out.
Fair enough.
All right.
I've always, like, thought about it, because we want to. It's, like, on our to-do list, because I hate throwing money away living in an apartment. But we always, like, when you think about, you know, you'd be doing it part-time, technically. So, like, the amount of time that you have to spend to kind of like handhold through the process.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't really pay for itself that well, most likely. Other than that, you have to use your license here and there anyway and make the money.
Yeah. What are you talking? Are you talking about like as a realtor to have to do the handholding process?
Yeah, yeah. For like one client that could not end up buying a house at all or something.
Right. There's you just kind of have to set boundaries.
Yeah.
When you meet with clients, like, look, a lot of agents when they're starting out, they'll take people out to look at homes like every Saturday for hours and hours on end. They see like dozens of houses and they end up not buying anything. Justin gave me a pretty good tip, like. You know, say like, I'll take you out once, twice, but if you don't show me like a pre-qualified letter shows me your level of commitment for this, then I can't really waste my time when I have other clients. So I think you just have to be upfront with people, even though they might not want to hear it. But I think just setting boundaries is the most important part of being a real estate agent.
Yeah. I think that's fair. And I know we've like gone to open houses without pre-qual letters, but like,
yeah, that's fine.
That's what they're for, kind of, at the same time.
Open houses, you get a mixed bag of people. You get people that are really looking to buy. Then you get, like, touristy type of people that are just, we wanted to see the inside of the house. We want to see what the bathroom looked like. You get people like that, and then you get people that are like, we didn't have anything else to do. It's Saturday. We want to look at this big house in Murraysville or whatever. So, yeah, you get a mixed bag with open houses, for sure.
So just doing it part-time then, technically, you wouldn't, like, have any listings of your own, but you can have buyers, essentially, is, like, what would benefit you the most? Or have you had any listings on your
own? Starting out, most people are, when you're a new real estate agent, a lot of times you're just working with buyers, which is usually the longer process. Then once you get a couple sales under your belt, then people are more comfortable listing with you.
Okay.
But there's a phrase in the real estate world. It's, if you want to last, you got to list. You got to have listings. And that's really the best thing. If you can have like 5-6 listings at a time, that's great. Because you can kind of kick back and then you have people just coming at you with offers.
Yeah.
But it is a lot tougher to get those listings. And it's usually like once you're a little bit more experienced to, you know, as a real estate agent. There's a guy... that actually works for Remax Select that plays in... Have you ever heard of the band Dan and Shay?
No.
Okay, it's like a country band. But he's from Pittsburgh. The guy sells like 50 homes a year. Mostly up in like Cranberry. In the prestigious areas. And he plays in this band. I would really love to know how he finds the time to be in like this huge band. I mean, he's playing on the Grammys. And he's also selling real estate in Pittsburgh. I'd love to know how he balances all that out.
Yeah.
That'd be really beneficial to know. But he, like I said, I think he might have like a team. Like how I mentioned the Cummings brothers have like the Cummings brothers team.
Yeah.
I think he might have just like a team of people that are like constantly working for him. And then he just comes home and signs all the documents and then goes back out on the road with the band. I don't know.
I mean, you wouldn't even have to come home.
With like DocuSign.
Digital signatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could just wing it.
Yeah. So I feel like that was a long answer for the original questions, but that's kind of where I'm at right now.
It's a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully I'm making sense. Sometimes I start to ramble, and I'll go back and listen to these things. I'm like, what was I talking about?
No, I think I was following.
Okay.
So
okay.
It is what it is.
Just let me know if I'm trailing off.
No, because I'm... You know, one thing that I've tried to, like, do with this is not just be BMX, too, because I feel like you can... almost pin yourself into like just a spot where you're like, well, let's not talk about that. That's not BMX.
Right.
And like, I don't know. Depending on what the podcast is, this Grindworks BMX podcast, but it's still like there's other stuff outside of BMX in Chris Doyle's life, in my life.
Feels like there's a lot actually, but
so you said you're doing the stay at home dad thing as well as, you know, riding professionally, sports commentating.
Yeah.
Real estate agent. I don't know how active you have been in that or are, but
not active at all. I mean, I'd say I have my toe in the water with the real estate stuff. It's nothing too official yet, but I am licensed. So again, if anyone's out there looking to buy or sell a home, let me know.
I know, how cool is that? You could be like, yeah, I bought my house from Chris Doyle.
Yeah. Pretty if funny. They're BMXers, they might think it's cool. Otherwise, they're like, who the hell? Who's Chris Doyle? I don't care.
Yeah.
Give me a good deal on this house.
Why do I care about this guy that's like just started?
Yeah.
Like, no. I'm a pro, though.
Yeah, I got this. Trust me.
Man. So, let's go back. How did you buy your house? Are you living in your own house or you're renting one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought the house in 2002. And luckily, I hope this doesn't come across as like braggy or anything. Or I don't know if that's the right word. But we had good money years. There was just years when I was doing well in contests and there were a ton of contests going on. The Dew Tours, the X Games, the Gravity Games, like everything. And they were like big money contests. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, even if you were getting 10th place, that was still like $2,000. So I had some good money years, and the house is paid for. So nice not to have
that's
to.
That's awesome.
It's nice to not have to worry about a mortgage. So, but we live, I don't know what your listener base is, but like we live in a very affordable area. The eastern suburbs, I mean, you can live pretty good on not a lot of money. You can live good for pretty cheap here in Pittsburgh in general.
I was going to say, Pittsburgh seems like it's no California. That's for
right.
sure.
The cost of living here compared to so many places in the country is so affordable. Like, it's amazing. And I think that's one of the things I love most about where we live. It's like, you can live really good on a little bit of money.
Yep. So that kind of brings up another question, though, and I actually have a couple of questions for you, and they seem very different, but I have a feeling that they relate to one another in some way or not.
Okay.
So, like, you grew up in North Carolina, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard the story. I don't want to, like, totally breeze over it just for the sake of not being redundant, but, like, it was Cary?
Cary, North Carolina.
Cary, North Carolina. Grew up riding trails, riding skate park, just trails.
I'd say as far as like growing up, it was all trails.
Okay.
It was rare that we didn't have any parks, especially in like in our area. The closest park was in Greenville, and that was an hour and a half away. We were kids; we didn't have cars, so it was rare that we ever got down there.
Okay. So then, like you know, as time goes on, you. Pretty much, like, moving out of there, why did you leave North Carolina?
How old was I? I was 19 when I officially moved out of North Carolina. And I was riding a lot, but I was riding by myself. And a lot of my friends were going in different directions. And I just wanted to try living somewhere else. And I was good friends with Chris Bennett, and Chris was living up in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I went up and I stayed with him for a few weeks. I liked it. We had a good time. We lived very similar lifestyles. It was just all riding trails, coming home, and just bullshitting. Watching videos and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. So I moved to Erie, Pennsylvania. Lived up there for about a year. Had a good year, and I liked it a lot. But our lease was up, and everyone was going to go in a different direction. Chris was going to move to Philly. My buddy Mike was moving back to his hometown, and I was like, well, give Pittsburgh a shot. Todd Wachowiak was living here. He's from here.
Mm-hmm.
He had bought a house. He's like, just rent a room for me for the summer. I'm like, yeah, cool. I was a young man. I was just traveling around, and I was like, yeah, I'll live in Pittsburgh for the summer. I rented a room from Todd, and that's when I met my wife. So that was what really kept me here.
Okay.
I was like, well, I like this girl. I'm just going to see where this goes. And then the rest is history.
Yeah. So that was part one was going to be like, why Pittsburgh? And then the like unrelated but semi-related question that I was going to have for you is being a pro rider, traveling a ton, riding a bunch of dirt contests, riding whatever else, how did that cross over to like the local trail scene or whatever. Because I know with like trails, sometimes it's territorial, sometimes it's, you know, you got to put in the work to ride, stuff like that. And different scenes are a lot different about that. So I was like, how does that relate to where you pick to live? Or like, you know, because there's a handful of good sets of trails around here too.
Yeah. Good question. Because it is territorial. But I was always good friends with most of the guys. And I tried to iron all that out in the very beginning. So I moved from Erie to Pittsburgh. You know, like I said, I'm just here for the summer. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the local trails were Section 22 in Delmont. And the dude at Section 22 was Brandon Punjab. I was good friends with him. I'm like, hey, do you mind if I... Can I shovel here? Can I ride here? So he said, yeah, that's fine. So it was never... I never really got vibed out. I think by the time I moved to Pittsburgh, all those vibes were kind of gone. And people were just kind of stoked that I was around. Like, oh, sweet. Doyle's here now. Awesome. Let's ride. And it was great. And then eventually, Punjab moved on to do other things. And it was just me and my crew now that like kind of took over the trails. So we were now like the trail guys. And I think we were always pretty cool with people coming and riding. We let like road fools come. We never chained up the trails. You'll hear about people doing that. Yeah. So I think I just kind of moved here at the right time. To where the trail Nazi thing was kind of dying off.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that it would be weird because like they could just have a bias about it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard it talked about. So, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be touching salty spots or...
No, I've never really had much of a problem with it. I think as long as you're upfront with people... As long as you don't just show up with a camera one day, like, hey, we're going to film some clips.
Hey, I brought the whole crew into your trails, and they're like, we don't even know you, man. Like, I know your name, that's it.
Maybe I've just always had a more mature stance on it. Like, hey, if it's not cool for me to be here, say something now. Don't say something a week from now.
Don't keep it for months and months and months and be like, oh, freaking Chris just comes by and acts like he owns the place.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, okay.
As long as you're upfront with people and you're honest, like, hey, is this cool? Then, yeah, it's all good.
How much time do you get to spend at the trails now?
This past year, a couple days, I had the big health scare.
Yeah, yeah.
And that happened in April. And that's like...
Yeah, it butchered your whole summer.
It really did. It destroyed my whole summer. And so April... Like March, April, May, those are the prime digging times. So I missed all that. And then I didn't ride until, I think, late July. And then this summer really sucked as far as, like, weather went. Because it was, like, raining every day. There was, like, torrential downpours. I think last year was, like, didn't we set records here in Pittsburgh for the most rainfall?
I wasn't paying attention, but possibly.
I think Pittsburgh was the biggest metropolitan city with the most rainfall in the United States this year. Like, we were number one as far as rainfall went this year. So,
woohoo.
it was not a great year for riding trails. But luckily, in the fall, I got out and I was able to ride Hazelwood with Mark Matosny and Tom Marcus. So that was really good. That kind of saved me for the year. I was like, okay, I got at least a few sessions in. So, but yeah, now that I'm a father, don't have a ton of time to go to the trails. But I think... You know, prior to this year, I was still digging and contributing quite a bit at Monroeville. And Monroeville's the best, Monroeville Trails. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a community there. Everyone wants to, like, come and ride and contribute ideas and just be a part of the scene, so.
Yeah, well, and I know, like, I've been asked by, I know, Tim asks a lot, and, like, a lot of those guys are like, just come to the trails, man. Just come hang out, whatever. Like, you don't have to dig if you don't want to, and I'm like... I don't mind digging, it's just, I don't know, it's not really my deal anymore.
Right, you'd rather be in the streets than in the woods, huh?
You know, I grew up in road trails. My grandma lived on the adjacent property to the local trails up in New York. So, I grew up with it. I was in trails by the time I was 10 years old, until I graduated high school, through my first 2 years of college.
Okay.
And then, like, just like, as I was away from the place doing the college thing, I was still in my hometown, so I'd be there on the weekends, but it was in a neighborhood, and the kids just destroyed everything.
Yeah.
So you'd go down there, and you'd have a foot and a half cut off your lips and landings, and it was turned into a sketchy, skinny tabletop, and you'd rebuild it, get it running, and then come back next weekend, and it's torn down again.
Yeah.
I was like, forget it, I'm over it. Like, kind of moved on to another place in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was riding street in and out there. We had East Coast Terminal while I was in high school. We had HCS, still kind of have HCS up there.
Yeah.
And that turned into my normal place to go. And there's a concrete park in Binghamton. It sucks real bad, but they have one.
Yeah, I've seen footage of it. Yeah. It's got, like, the horseshoe quarter pipe there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a drain at the bottom of it that someone smashed the drain out, so it's actually just a hole at the bottom of that tombstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real cool. That park's rough. I think it's weird because they designed it, and then I think when they built it, they're like, that's going to cost too much money, and instead of just cutting features out, they just shrunk it and scaled it down, because some stuff is just real weird.
Right.
And you're like, that would be really fun if it was either closer together so you could transfer it without gunning the whole park, or a little bit bigger so that you didn't land flat on it every time.
Right.
So, it's just a weird park. But then it's also one of the better skate parks in that area for that time frame.
Yeah.
The other neighboring towns like Elmira and Corning and Ithaca. Ithaca had fun. Hit line. That was it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Kind of even forgot where I was going with that, other than...
We're talking about, like, spending time at the trails and things like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so anyway, I just kind of got out of it. And, like, before I moved down here, I spent a year up at Kelly Baker's spot, like, kind of riding up there a lot. I had bought a second bike, kept some brakes on it, like, it is what it is. So, I mean, I was riding trails. Like, he was busy with his kids. They're in the wrestling thing. So, like, he wasn't up there a lot, but I know he was psyched that people were out there actually using the trails and riding.
Yeah.
And then broke my leg. Broke my collarbone, broke my leg, broke my ankle. And just, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And got a job offer down here, and here I am.
Yeah.
So, I haven't had a trails bike for quite some time, but I brought my frame with brake mounts on it, and I have my old bike right there.
Okay.
So, I have everything but a set of brakes to throw on there.
And you live in Monroeville.
I live in Monroeville.
Yeah. You could probably ride your bike to the trails from here.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of a sketchy ride down... Northern Pike, but...
Well, you could take the back road. If you go down this hill, it comes right up by the mall, by the post office there.
Okay.
But yeah, then you got a hill.
Even still, yeah. Might be kind of sketchy. But you could do it.
Could. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't have to.
Right.
But even without, you know, living this close, like, I drive all over the place to ride, so what's it matter?
Yeah.
Where do you not ride a lot that you wish you rode around here?
Around here? I don't ride Peach Plaza as much as I would like to. That place... and of course I ride the Bowl more than the actual Plaza, but we used to ride the Plaza quite a bit, actually. But I really like that Bowl. I think there's a lot of untapped potential, and there's like untapped lines that could be done, but that's like so far off the beaten path for me. Especially when Boyce is only like 3 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just lazy.
Peach is like a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, yeah. And especially having to go down Route 30. I guess there's another way you could get in there. But, I wish that Bowl was a little bit closer, because I'd like to ride that a little bit more.
Yeah, I like, even looking at it, I'm like, man, I wish I was not terrified of that deep Bowl, because the little Bowl into it looks super fun.
Yeah, yeah, like, I know, like, Zoo and... a couple of guys like jump in from the shallow into the deep. nuts.
I've gone like mid-size to shallow.
Okay.
But that's about it. I'm not a good jumper anymore. You kind of lose it if you don't do it a lot.
Okay.
I've always thought so anyway. Okay. But, man, Peach is fun though. When I first came down here on a trip, we went down there and it was just the plaza. And then the next trip down, we're like, yeah, let's go ride that plaza spot again. And we drove out there and there's the whole bowl side. And I'm like, well, that was a nice surprise.
One of the last times I was at Peach Plaza, I think was last, it had been 2 summers ago. And I'm riding the bowl and there's like all these kids on Razor scooters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this kid's birthday party. One kid comes up to me, he's like, are you pro? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pro. Can you do backflips? And I'm like, yeah, I can do backflips. And he goes, can we see a backflip? And I'm like, sure, why not? And so I go over to the plaza. And there's a quarter pipe that goes, and then there's the grass embankment on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like, that'll be perfect for a backflip. So I jump a few times, and all the kids are just, like, lined up. They got their razor scooters. Like, he's going to backflip it! And, like, all these people, like, parents come over, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Pedal up the quarter. I'm like, all right. I have done 1,000 backflips. I know how to do it. So I flip, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm flipping so slow. And I land on the grass embankment, just nose down. And I eat shit in front of all these kids. And, like, you could tell, like, a lot of the kids just wanted me to eat shit real hard.
Yeah, they didn't actually want to see a backflip.
It was the hardest I've ever crashed on a backflip in my life. I usually pull, like, I've pulled, like, 99.9% of them. But that one got me. I ate shit so hard. And, like, all the kids were like, oh, my God, can you do it again? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it again. Like, I bruised the shit out of my heel. And I pulled the next one.
Yeah.
But they weren't nearly as excited about the one that I pulled compared to the one that I didn't pull. And they all got around. So if any of those kids are watching, they have the footage. It's out there.
Yeah, well, it's probably all filmed vertical and on Snapchat.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's definitely a lot of dad cam going on.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Hopefully he had a good birthday. Because that's how they sold it. It's like, it's my friend's birthday. Like, can we see a backflip? I'm like, yeah. Since it's your birthday.
You gave them the best present they could ask
for. Oh, yeah, that's all they could ever ask
for. A good crash and a landed backflip.
Yeah, yeah.
That thing's a weird flyout, though.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tight.
It's really tight, as are a lot of those quarters there, especially on the plaza. And I should have known better, but whatever.
It worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. I'm still here.
I was wondering if you weren't going to say Imperial, actually, for...
I rode Imperial a lot. I feel like I've exhausted Imperial. I like Imperial, but I don't go out of my way to ride it anymore. When that place first opened, me and Brian Yeagle were going there every other day. And that's a far drive for us out here in the eastern suburbs.
I'd say an hour.
So we were going out there like every other day. We'd get there at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and... I haven't found any new lines since that time period, but I shit you not. Like, it'd be like 9 o'clock in the morning, just me and Yeagle, just us two, no one else at the park, and Yeagle would be doing, like, 10-foot airs out of the 10-foot quarter. Like, going bananas. Like, I don't think he ever had an off switch. He'd be riding, like, as hard as he possibly could. Despite, like, if anyone was around. Like, it was... Those were really fun sessions because it really pushed me. I'm like, well, I should be riding hard too then.
Mm-hmm.
So those were really memorable times. But yeah, I love Imperial, but I don't miss it that much.
When they built it, did it always have the prefab ramps on it, or were those added later?
Yeah, those were always there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every time I've gone there, I end up riding those, not the bowl.
They're good, like, prefab ramps.
Like,
those...
How do I come to this awesome park and ride just the prefab ramps though?
Those ARC ramps are really good. What is that? American Ramp Company?
I think so. That's the same that they have at Sheridan, though, right?
Sheridan's ARC. Amazing. The guy that owns that company, he's a skateboarder. His name's Judd, and he rips. He skates a skate park the way, like, Brian Yeagle rides a skate park on a BMX. Like, he's that gnarly. And I only recently found out that he's the owner of those ramps. Because I think they're all pretty good for being prefab.
Yeah. Pretty good. It's the best prefab ramp company I've ever ridden.
Right.
Like, the Woodward ones are just, like, meh.
Yeah.
Their full-blown prefab mini ramp rides really well.
Mm-hmm.
Every other ramp that they have, like, the weird spines and stuff.
Yeah.
Just never ride right.
No.
Of course, we also have the little Woodward Park here.
I know.
And it's uphill both ways, like, because the spine's on the high ground.
Yeah.
So you drop in and pedal uphill at a spine. To then land going downhill at a quarter that's slightly tipped back.
Yeah.
This is sketch, but it's fun.
I did a demo at that park for the grand opening. Like, oh, Murnauville's got a park. There's the grand opening. And I was like, oh, cool. And, like, they invited me out to be one of the guests there. And I'm like, this is going to be great. We get a park. And I got there. And I was like, this park. I think it's the only time I've ever ridden there. I think it was last year. I rolled up to Boyce. And Cam Gervin was there, and Mason was there, a couple other guys. And Cam's leaving as I'm getting there. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, go to the Monroeville Park. I'm like, you're leaving Boyce to go to the Monroeville Park? I'm like, come on, man. He's like, yeah, I just really like that park. He's like, all right, man, good for you. Teach us up.
We'll go down there occasionally if it's completely packed at Boyce.
Okay.
There's like 50 people there. It's like, all right, I'd rather at least go get a couple of runs in over that sketchy box jump.
But yeah, I gotcha.
But it's not fun.
No. It's a challenge there. Zoolander likes that park a lot, too. He'll do that transfer. There's, like, the one kicker, and there's, like, an embankment down here. It's, like, a big, long quarter pipe. I think the quarter pipe's probably, like, 15 feet long.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 15 feet wide. And then there's like a 6-foot extension, and then
it goes down to like 3.
Yeah. So he jumps from the 6-foot extension into the wedge. Whew. Over here. It's pretty burly.
What do you do with that speed after? Because there's like a little 3-foot quarter.
He goes right into that and slams on his brakes. That's that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Should do the rail hop over it.
Okay.
Yeah, I say that as if, like, I should be calling that out or something. But
no, we're leaving that for you. You.
Yeah, I got it. I'll just crash into everything afterwards.
Yeah.
Probably case that transfer, though. Man, that park.
I know.
And then to think, it's by far better than, like, certain parks that I've ridden.
Yeah.
That is amazing. The park is better than places.
Yeah, yeah.
Corning, New York's probably the worst park I've ever ridden.
Oh, okay, I've never been.
I'll just show you pictures of it, and you'll be like, that's a quarter pipe? Because they're called quarter pipes.
Right.
In the design plan, it's 2 quarter pipes and a pyramid, 4-sided pyramid. And there's 2 grind boxes there.
Sweet.
But they're not quarter pipes. They're like 50-degree wedge ramps with no tranny at the bottom.
Oh, nice.
And no deck. It's like this much deck, and then it drops straight off on the back. And the pyramid is flat top. You can fit a garbage can on it, but nothing else.
Okay.
And it's about 50 degrees on each side. Super steep. No tranny at the bottom.
Wow. Sounds
and like it's a just like, oh, it's rough. It's fun, though, in a way.
So bad that it's kind of good.
Yeah, you're kind of like, you literally need to go here just because.
Right.
Any of our friends from here, like Tyler and all the guys that we've gone up to New York for riding trips, and I hear them complain about like Boyce being bad or boring or something. I'm like, no, you guys need to come here for a minute. When we stop there, like, why would you bring us here?
There's a,
like, because I grew up with this. You don't even understand what a bad park is.
There's a lot of kids that have never, or that have started riding here in Pittsburgh that have never not had a place like Boyce. Or a place like the Wheel Mill,
mm-hmm.
or a place like Peach. Like, they've always had that. They've never had to, like, experience a year with nothing. You know, like, so, yeah. Kids are definitely spoiled. Around here, for sure.
I think a lot of the country, even. Just the influx of free concrete parks over the last 10 to 15 years is insane.
Yeah.
But it's hurt the indoor park so bad.
Definitely. Yeah.
And almost the whole riding scene in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's more kids at the skate park. They're all on scooters.
I know.
Which, whatever, you know, in a way, they're those scooters are keeping the bike shops open to still sell mountain and road and BMX and whatever. They're paying the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Changa's open because of scooters.
I know.
So, like, how bad can you complain about it? But it's frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down the scooter road.
Let's not do it. Let's just keep on
going. All right, all right. I won't ask you what your opinion of scooters
is. Nah. It's not right. Even worth it.
Fair enough. So we skipped over a lot of stuff between the, like, moving out of North Carolina to Erie, and then I jumped to, like, the trails question, and we skipped, like, 15 years.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, but
it is what it is.
I think a lot of people know my story, and you talked about, like, you know, career stuff, and that's pretty current, so.
Yeah. With the physical therapist thing, is that something you would still like to do, other than, like, the fact that it'll be 8 to 10 years of school?
Yeah. If it was easier to get to the finish line, then yes. And if I'd started school right after that props interview, then yeah, it would have been great. Brian Foster's done it. He started, you know, just before he was 40, and he's coming to the end now. But no, I've kind of lost that interest of being a physical therapist, and it's so much school, it's so much time. I don't have the patience, mm-hmm. I don't think, to do it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you could go, like, the assistant route, but it almost, not much less work.
Right, I think you're doing a lot of the same work. You're doing a lot of bitch work, too, for not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those guys get paid that much. I think that's like an associate's degree, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go down that route either. I think the real estate thing, I think, will be a good fit for me whenever I get to, you know, working full-time. Yeah.
So, who are you still riding for then? I know Rockstar, you're posting Rockstar stuff all the time, posting Kink stuff all the time.
Kink and Rockstar and Duo.
Okay, I was unsure if you were still with Duo or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. And I'll be with those brands until they decide not to sponsor me anymore. Because they've been so good to me all throughout my time with them. I think I'm kind of like Kink for life at mm-hmm. this point. And Duo was recently bought by System Cycle. So it's like different people kind of run. Well, it's the same people running the company, but it's just under a different umbrella now. But then, yeah, and Rockstar was always really good to me as well. They reached out to me a lot after my health emergency, and they were like, hey, let us know if you need anything. And for a big company like that to be supportive of me was really great. So, yeah, I'll just I'll stay with these sponsors until they decide otherwise.
Yeah, good. Yeah. It's cool to hear that, because you see, like, a lot of sponsor hopping, and you see, like, the whole thing that's happening with I want to say Stranger and Primo, like that whole distribution out there where, like, people were leaving, not getting paid, stuff like that. And then, you know, they quit the team and then they trash talk the company, and you're like, it's a tough spot to be in.
Yeah, I don't think, if I ever left the brands that I'm on, then I don't think anyone would really hear about it. I would just kind of, like, walk away. Because I don't know what those deals are like for those Stranger guys or the Primo guys or anything, but, like, I've always had just such good relationships with the people that I work with at the brands mm-hmm. that have supported me, that it wouldn't be worth it to just trash talk them.
That's what I'm looking at. And then also, like, how bad does it look for you
mm-hmm.
to do that? Like,
people's feelings get hurt, you know, and people have a lot of pride, and a company drops them or something, they're like, fuck that company. And it just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in bad taste, for sure.
It definitely is. And then you're like, how is that person ever going to get another sponsor after they just ripped them apart? And then next week they're on some other team, and you're like, all right, guess it's not that big of a deal then. Just throw shade left and right.
Yeah.
It's weird. But, yeah, it's cool that you've been able to maintain, like, really effectively two bike sponsors.
That's kind of where, like, I divide my career, was, like, my career with DK and then my career with Kink. And, I think both have been really good.
Yeah.
Both have been more. Yeah, I think I was on DK for 9 years. Been on Kink for over 10 now.
That's wild.
Yeah.
How did your DK one come to an end? Because there were always rumors that went around, and they may be true, they may not, that like having the signature grip with Duo was pretty much the end of your
DK. That was their excuse.
Or was it just timing was convenient, pretty much?
DK wasn't doing good at that point, and DK was paying me a lot of money. And some egos got hurt over the whole Duo thing. And man, yeah, it came down to a lot of ego, and DK at the time was kind of circling the drain, and getting rid of me was going to save them a lot of money. So they saw an opportunity to have an excuse to get rid of me, and they just took it.
Okay.
So and yeah,
a little of both then.
It really hurt in the beginning, especially because I've been on DK since I was 16, and they market the whole thing like, we're the DK family. We're the DK family. And I'm like, whoa, and you just kicked me off? Like, I had 2 months left on my contract, and they wouldn't honor it. So, yeah, I was butthurt, and I was sad, and that only lasted a couple days, though, because then Zach from Kink called me. He's like, hey, would you want to write for Kink? And I'm like, I'd never even thought about writing for Kink. And at that point, this would have been like 2007. Kink hadn't done anything.
They'd fallen flat, pretty much gone.
Right. It was like a year and a half. They hadn't done anything. I'm like, well, does Kink even have bikes? Like, do you guys have parts? Like, he's like, we're gonna revamp the whole team, the whole all of our products. Everything's getting like a total facelift. I'm like, okay. He's like, in fact, I'll come down there tomorrow and I'll explain everything to you. So he like drove down from Rochester, came to my house, and we talked, you know, for however many hours about it. And he's like, we want you to be like the face of the new Kink brand that's coming about. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And Zach really, he seemed like a smart guy, and he seemed like the type of dude that wouldn't bullshit me. Mm-hmm. So I started riding for Kink.
I would say it's worked out.
Oh, it worked out great.
I mean, for them too. Just Kink is, in my opinion, and I'm not anybody, I would say, but I know that in bike shops, Kink Completes are moving fast. Kink products, they're affordable, they're good. Like,
yeah,
what can you say about it? Like,
they have
their
all
crew's good.
It seems like they just have all the right people working for them. J. Rowe being the team manager, Matt Antes being the product designer. Matt was really responsible, especially back in like 2008, 2009, for getting those complete bikes to the bike shops and like having, you know, all the right specs and everything. He's a really smart guy. He was, you know, those two guys I think have done a lot for the success of Kink. And then their sales team is great. And yeah, and Zach's just a smart businessman. He knows how to, when it comes about, he knows how to weather the storms that BMX goes through. And you know, he's able to like kind of maintain a even keel.
Yeah. Does he own like all the cinema and everything now too?
Yeah, Blackout
through
owns,
Blackout.
Yeah, yeah. Blackout owns Kink and Cinema, and Zach Phillips owns all that.
Yeah. Cuz I know like just getting in on your own distribution side, that's a key thing that it seems like a lot of companies are still going through like a tip or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you know, QBP, the larger distros, and then you're kind of losing out a little bit, and you can fill in your gaps by just carrying another company that, well, we do this and this company does this, so we got your bases covered.
Yeah.
So it seems like that was a real smart move on their part.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's a smart businessman. No. You would never know it to talk to him, but he's a smart guy.
I don't know if
I mean that in that he doesn't Zach, like but, he doesn't brag about yeah. stuff.
I don't know if I've talked to Zach or not. I've met and talked to so many of those guys at Kink because my buddy Ryan works there in the sales department. So like, you know, I stop up there if I'm in the area, say mm-hmm. hey, whatever. But other than that, like, I don't know too much about it.
Right.
So, I don't know. What do you got going on? What's future Chris doing other than real estate?
Riding bikes and raising kids. That's pretty much it. Just trying to stay healthy. And I want to maintain a certain level, even if I'm not, you know, in the future, I'm not a professional. I still want to maintain a good level of riding. So I'm trying to stay consistent and just keep doing what I've always done.
I think we're done with the days of, like, quitting.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone actually quits anymore.
I think we just ride less.
Yeah, I think you eventually just try to take, like, different things take over your life. I mean, eventually my kids are going to have their own hobbies that I'm going to want to be a part of. And mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, do I go riding or do I go to my daughter's soccer practice or whatever? And I'll probably go to the soccer practice and maybe get, like, 15 minutes in at the skate park. So,
yeah
I with kids, as they get old, like, right now, they're so young, like, they don't really have any hobbies. So, I think as time goes on, I'll get more into, like, the fatherhood type of things and just, like you said, ride less.
What sport do you hope, or what activities do you hope your daughter gets into would be kind of a cool question, because I would think that it's going to tie into what, like, sports you like outside of BMX and stuff like that.
Of course, you have to introduce them to certain things, and I'm going to just try to introduce them to as much as I can, as much as I can afford. The sports I really like, that, well, I grew up playing soccer and running track and field or running cross country, I'm able to introduce her to those things. Then I like hockey, maybe sign them up for hockey. Of course, BMX. Just introduce them and see what sticks. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, maybe they'll be into soccer. Maybe they'll be into BMX. I don't know. I think that's, like, all you can really do as a good parent is just introduce them to as much as possible and see what they like. Because how else will they know?
Yeah, right. And I think that's cool, though, because it's funny because I know what I'm into, and I just feel like it's probably not what Ryder will be into. Like, I hope that he will want to ride BMX, but he might want a skateboard, or he might want nothing to do with action sports,
right.
And, like, I just want to play basketball. And you're like, all right, man, good for you. Like, it's not in your genes to be a tall person, but you can still have fun playing basketball. Like, go for it.
I think that's all you can do as a father is just support what your kids are into.
Mm-hmm. I mean, on that, we can
wrap. That's a good positive note to end on.
You don't have anything else to say. And congratulations on expecting the new one, too.
Thanks. Aside from our families, you guys are, you're like one of the first to know.
Yeah. That's awesome. And everyone knows now. except... It's probably, I don't know, I've had like 100 views or listens on stuff.
Okay.
Which I actually thought was pretty good for just starting it.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
It's probably not people that are following on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
I would guess.
Yeah. Well, when do you plan on releasing this?
So I've got, Rhett's will be up this Sunday. So this one.
You said you'd like to wait a
week
in between? Okay.
Yeah, so... Should be good.
Yeah, right on.
You'll have time to blow it up before this.
Well, yeah, I think...
Do you want to drop?
Well, we're at like 8 weeks right now, and I think you usually wait until like 10 weeks to start telling people.
Yeah.
So, that should work out perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks for coming over and hanging out, Chris. And
sharing
the Poliver...
Oh, yeah. I would have totally left this here. I would have forgotten it.
Don't want that to happen.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yep.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Grindworks podcast. This is actually the third time I've recorded the outro, second time I've recorded the intro for this podcast. Doing a couple of things out of order here. As I mentioned, this one was... was late, 2 months old, and I had recorded an intro and outro prior, and then still ended up hitting some delays and not getting this posted. And then the last time I recorded this outro, I simple but left the starting soon logo on the bottom, and I wanted to correct that. But I'm not ashamed of my mistakes, I'll admit it. Anyway, check out Chris on Instagram at Chris_Doyle22, and also check out his podcast at Palaver_BMX. That's Palaver_BMX. As we talked about in this interview, we were looking at Chris's podcast setup for the Palaver podcast, and I did end up going out getting myself an H1 Zoom mic, and the next couple of interviews, podcasts, whatever you want to call them, are recorded with audio only, so there's no visual aspect aside from the intro and outro that I'm going to be recording here. There is a photo that I'll be posting up. You know, it'll be just the screen while the audio is playing for the YouTube version, so that still will be on YouTube. Otherwise, it'll still be available the way I think most of you are listening, which is through Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. So, in the meantime, check out Grindworks BMX on Instagram and Twitter at Grindworks_BMX. That is also our Snapchat. Then there's Facebook, Mixer, YouTube, and Anchor are at Grindworks BMX with no underscore. So, again, thank you for watching. I hope you're enjoying these, and take care.